It's 1240. You're listening to the Afternoon Magazine on WILL AM 580. I'm Craig Cohen. Our technical director is Jason Croft. It was Governor Pat Quinn's time to shine last night. Quinn was among the speakers who kicked off the Democratic National Convention. He was there to help ensure President Barack Obama's political future. But what about his own? From the DNC in Charlotte, North Carolina, Amanda Vinicky reports.
It was a good thing for a lot of Illinois Republicans in Florida last week for their party's national convention that the delegation's hotel was on a beach because there was a lot of showboating. The event doubled as an unofficial place for politicians interested in being the state's next governor to lay the groundwork. So many Republicans want to run that at one point, chair of the Illinois GOP, Pat Brady, joked,
I do want to thank those of you in the room that aren't running for governor.
The prevailing assumption is that whoever the eventual Republican nominee is, he or she will be put up against Governor Pat Quinn. Quinn hasn't declared he's going to run for re-election when his term's up in 2014, but he's done nothing to deny it either.
Well, I'm not going to do that kind of focus now. I think we got to focus on policy in our state. There'll be plenty of time for politics later on. But, you know, this is a 2012 election.
It's probably lucky for Quinn he's got more time. Despite his attempts, he's been unable to get legislators to agree on a plan to deal with Illinois' underfunded pension systems. Legislators complain he can't lead, that he flip-flops, that he's too distracted. And it's not just Republicans. Fellow Democrats openly express frustration with him. And in part because of his quest to cut public employees' pensions, he's openly battling with the very unions whose money and manpower are credited with helping him win in 2010. Some state employees say they're done with Quinn forever. But the president of Illinois' AFL-CIO, Michael Kerrigan, says all's not lost. He says if Quinn extends the olive branch, labor will be at the table ready to negotiate. And if Quinn wants a future in Illinois politics, Kerrigan says he'll have to do just that.
I haven't forgotten he won by 32,000 votes, and I think a few other people haven't forgotten that either. I don't know how he could win a re-election again without making peace with labor.
Quinn's battle with organized labor contributes to his political vulnerability, as does his unpopularity. Polls have put his approval rating as low as 35%. If Democrats want to hold on to the governor's office, there's a chance the party's powers that be will try to slate someone else to run against him. Chairman of the state Democratic Party, House Speaker Mike Madigan, is holding off pledging loyalty to Quinn.
We'll defer on it. We got to re-elect Barack Obama.
Still, so far, no Democrat has surfaced as a challenger. Two of the people commonly suggested as potential primary opponents are Cook County Board President Tony Preckwinkle and Attorney General Lisa Madigan. Both have gotten plenty of practice answering, though the better word may be avoiding the question. Here's Preckwinkle.
You know, my response to this is always the same, which means I can't understand the speculation, which is that I like sleeping in my own bed and I'm going to run for re-election. I don't know how I can be plainer.
And here's Madigan's line.
You know what? I am here at the Democratic Convention focused on one race, and that's the race for the White House.
Democratic Representative Lou Lang of Skokie says it's way too early to even begin thinking about if someone or who would run against Quinn.
It's way too early to talk about who might or might not run for governor. We have a governor. His name is Pat Quinn. And as long as I'm in the legislature, even though I've had well-publicized debates with him on many issues, I'm going to be supporting this governor to move Illinois forward, just as Barack Obama wishes to move the country forward.
As Lang hinted, he's not regarded as a trusted Quinn ally. If anything, the opposite. At times, Lang's criticism of Quinn has been quite harsh, especially when it comes to the governor's handling of Lang's proposal to add 5 new casinos and slots at horse race tracks, a proposal Quinn recently vetoed. Lang isn't closing off the possibility he'd support someone else, were they to make a bid against Quinn. But Lang's refusing to even go there right now.
We have a long way to go. We've made great strides, but we have much more to do in Illinois as we do all across America. And it doesn't do us any good to spend our energies attacking our own. We must move Illinois forward, and to do that, we should coalesce and help the governor lead.
In Charlotte, for the Democratic National Convention, I'm Amanda Vinicky.
Colorado Governor John Hickenlooper will address the Democratic National Convention in prime time tonight. The quirky Hickenlooper is one of the most popular governors in the country and considered a rising star in the Democratic Party. But so far, the former Denver mayor and brewpub owner has rebuffed speculation that he has national political aspirations. Kirk Ziegler of member station KUNC has this profile.
John Hickenlooper was mayor of Denver 4 years ago when his city hosted the Democratic National Convention that nominated then-Senator Barack Obama.
Thank you!
Democrats then said the road to victory ran through Denver and the West, a fast-growing region with changing demographics. Expect Governor Hickenlooper to make similar calls tonight. His brand is one the party touts a lot in the West, business-friendly, more independent than partisan. Hickenlooper first moved here in the 1980s to work in the oil fields, but when the boom went bust, he opened a brew pub in a once dilapidated Denver neighborhood, a story he told often while campaigning for governor.
That sense of having been laid off and been through the process of reinventing myself, I think is going to be very useful to really getting out there and helping the state reinvent itself and get the state economy going once again.
Under Hickenlooper, Colorado's economy has fared slightly better than some other swing states, and a recent poll showed that just 18% of Coloradans disapprove of the job he's doing. But he has had some clashes with Republicans.
And we're covering the state capitol for you this morning. Lawmakers back at work in just a few hours. It's for a special session, of course, ordered by the governor.
Hickenlooper ordered the special legislative session in May when Republican House Speaker Frank McNulty led a filibuster against a bill his administration backed legalizing civil unions.
We ought not and we should not be spending time on divisive social issues when unemployment remains far too high.
There should have been a debate and a vote on civil unions, and it's not gay marriage, it is civil unions.
Hickenlooper stuck to that messaging even when President Obama came out in support of gay marriage. Many analysts called it a wise political move so as not to turn away independents from his party and President Obama in this swing state. Hickenlooper has appeared alongside the president at numerous campaign stops here.
First of all, one of the best governors and one of the funniest governors in the country. Give it up for John Hickenlooper.
The governor also won praise across the political spectrum for his leadership and compassion in recent months as Coloradans endured destructive wildfires and the Aurora theater shootings.
There's not one of us that doesn't read or hear this story, certainly anyone who has children, and think about it being your child in that movie theater.
It's also been a tough summer personally for Hickenlooper. He and his wife announced they're separating, but many pundits didn't seem to think troubles in his personal life would affect his popularity or any of his future political ambitions. Still, Hickenlooper has so far rebuffed speculation that he's on the short list as a possible presidential contender in 2016.
I'm not doing it. You know, you've got a choice. You can either be the best governor you possibly can be and try to make Colorado a model of good government.
Or start hiring consultants and fundraising, he says. Indeed, there are no signs he's doing that, but part of that quirky Hickenlooper brand is a reputation for the unpredictable. For NPR News, I'm Kirk Ziegler in Denver.
Support for WILL comes from Subaru of Champaign County, featuring the standard all-wheel drive Subaru Outback with an EPA highway rating of 29 mpg, depending on conditions. More information is available at their showroom on Route 45 in Savoy or at SubaruofChampaign.com.
The NFL starts its regular season tonight with replacement referees.
We have fouls by both teams during the kick.
If preseason is prologue, week one is going to be interesting.
After the kick.
The other rep is yelling both on the kicking team.
Trouble with the call later on All Things Considered from NPR News.
Today from 4 to 7 on AM 580 and from 5 to 7 on FM 90.9.
And here is the Writer's Almanac for Wednesday, September the 5th, 2012. The birthday of Ward Just, born Michigan City, Indiana, 1935, author of more than a dozen books of fiction, including The Congressman Who Loved Flaubert, The American Blues, The American Ambassador, Jack Gantz, and others. Started out as a journalist, came from a family of journalists. The family published the town newspaper. Went off to college, dropped out of college, came home to be a full-time journalist. By the time he was in his mid-20s, he was writing for Newsweek and then the Washington Post. Went to Saigon, covered the Vietnam War. Was seriously wounded by shrapnel from a grenade, came back to the States to recover, wrote a book about Vietnam, and then he quit journalism and launched into fiction. His book, Exiles in the Garden, begins Especially when he was alone, Alec Malone had the habit of slipping into reverie, a semi-conscious state not to be confused with dreams. His reveries presented a kind of abstract grandeur, expressionist canvases in close focus, untitled. The reveries had been with him since childhood, and he treated them like old friends paying a visit. It's the birthday of the journalist Jonathan Kozol, born in Boston 1936, taught in a public school in Boston, has written many books about public education in this country and about how segregated our schools still are. Books include Savage Inequalities, Children in America's Schools, and Amazing Grace, The Lives of Children and the Conscience of a Nation, about kids in the Mott Haven neighborhood in the South Bronx. Jonathan Kozol, who said, pick battles big enough to matter, small enough to win. And it was on this day, 1957, that Jack Kerouac's book On the Road was published, based on the trip he took across the country 10 years before. Starting out in New York, rode a trolley to the edge of Yonkers, wanted to hitchhike, got to Route 6 at the Connecticut border. There was a big rainstorm, no cars picked him up. He gave up, went back to New York, bought a bus ticket to Chicago, and there he started hitchhiking. Stayed in YMCAs and cheap hotels, crossed the Mississippi. In Omaha, he saw his first real cowboy, rode on the back of a flatbed truck with a group of hobos. He knew he wanted to write about it, and finally, in April of 1951, Kerouac sat down at his kitchen table, wound a continuous roll of paper into a typewriter, tuned his radio to an all-night jazz station, and in 20 days he had the first draft of his new novel. He told the basically true story of his adventures with Neil Cassady, his friend, changed Cassady's name to Dean Moriarty, his own name to Sal Paradise, and it came out on this day in 1957. Here's a poem for today by Lucy Shaw, entitled Wrong Turn. I took a wrong turn the other day, a mistake, but it led me to the shop where I found the very thing I'd been searching for. With my brother, I opened a packet of old letters from my mother and saw a side of her that sweetened what had been deeply sour. Later that day, the radio sang a song from a time when I was discovering love and folded me into itself again. Wrong Turn, a poem by Lucy Shaw from her collection What the Light